We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. We have a packed show for you guys, all pro wrestling, leading into a WWE SummerSlam weekend. We get the Thunderdome debuting this weekend as well, so a ton to talk about there. NXT with Andreas' favorite feud. Of course, I'm talking about Adam Cole. And can't wait to hear what he says about that one. And then also, we'll talk a little bit about his recent interview with Seth Rollins and bringing some nostalgia from our wrestling past into this episode. But first, Dre, I feel like you're replacing me with Big E.
Oh, congrats. Don't be jelly.
Congrats on the new show on The Zone where you guys are breaking down old school fights. I love the snippets. Can't wait to watch on Saturday. We have a ton of shit to watch, but that one will be front and center on the main TV, up top, not on the other two, right up top, because I got to see how it goes down. It is going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it's something that me and E had talked about ever since, even before the New Day podcast when I did that. We have talked about getting him involved in boxing some way. And I pitched the idea to do Saturday Fight Live, which is basically us doing commentary for old fights, because we got this massive library. And if Kel, you know, I've talked about this, I'm like, we got this big ass library of fights and we just don't use it. So we started that, they started that series about 4 or 5 months ago. And look, I love The Zone, but I don't give a shit about listening to what Eddie Hearn has to say about a fight. That's not fun. Like, I wanted to do something fun. So if I talked to them, I said, look, Big E can do this, me and him can host it. We're doing two fights, and that's the first one you guys will see. Victor Ortiz versus Floyd Mayweather with a controversial finish. Ended up being a lot of fun, even though we both won't watch it. He is very similar to me, for those that don't know, without giving up too much.
he doesn't watch his matches?
Nah, he doesn't.
That's crazy. Okay.
He doesn't. Like, he really doesn't. So
he just,
like,
lets it breathe.
Yeah, he lets it breathe. So we're very similar in that fashion, but this was fun. So it's like, it's been a few weeks of surprises for you guys. They've kept me busy. You know, I thought COVID was going to make slow things down for me, but no, man, this is like the most busy I've been without traveling in a long ass time. So, yeah, no more tricks. I have nothing else. I think I'm done. Like, I don't have anything else I'm going to surprise you guys with. We did Tulsa. I've done the New Day podcast. I've done all the other shit. Writing for LL Cool J's website, the book. Yeah, I'm done. I don't have time for any more surprises. This is it.
I almost forgot. I forgot to put that on the rundown. You dropped that as well. Your piece about mixtape DJs or what happened to the mixtape era. So that's my favorite era right there. Like growing up in New York and copping the mixtapes from the barbershop or from the hat store on Gun Hill Road. Like it was just a thing to do every week on Fridays after school is go and cop the new mixtapes. So I can't wait to dive into that. I was prepping for the show, so I haven't read the article yet, but I can't wait to check it out. Man, you're all over the place.
Yeah, I'm tired. And I'm moving. Like, I'm buying, like I've told you, I'm buying my house. And it's like, I ain't ready to move. So I'm doing all this shit while looking for furniture, new furniture, and trying to figure out how to decorate and packing and, you know. Fuck it. Yeah, exactly.
Double down. Have another baby. Like, just go all the way. Like, oh, you think you're busy? Double down.
Man, This is enough. Yeah. I've had enough. Like, the one is enough. And then, like, for the time being, two will come at some point. But, man.
Let me just keep adding stuff to your schedule. Like, I never want you to sleep.
it's crazy. Like, dude, the other day I had to wake up. Shea Serrano, we had a conference call to discuss the book. That was at like 7 a.m. and I had to do like more work and prep for the final edits of this thing. And I've got some other shit cooking at the zone. No surprises yet. It's not coming for a while. But there's other things in the oven. It's just like, man, I need a break. I just want to play some video games.
Yeah. This would usually be the time where you take a cruise. COVID really, really hurt you on that one.
Yeah, so none of that. There'll be no cruise this year or at all in the very near future. So,
listen, fingers crossed for WrestleMania next year.
Let's see. Oh, fuck, man. Just the mere thought of what could possibly happen at WrestleMania next year. Because, yeah, we were supposed to do wrestling stereotypes. But now it's, like, so much bigger than it was this past year.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because all that kind of, like, got canceled. But I feel like individually our profiles have gotten bigger. The show's profile has gotten bigger. And we've just been in the midst of, obviously, a time in our society where the topic has gotten bigger.
Yeah.
So now it makes, like, you know, everyone, it builds this anticipation. Now we're this thing. People are like, yo, did you know they had this? Oh, have you seen this? Have you heard this? And now people will be buzzing to come out and watch it. So, it's going to be insane.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Can't wait. Outside of that, you talked to Seth Rollins recently. That should be dropping.
Yeah, soon actually, I talked to Seth last week, and I'm dropping that piece tomorrow. But I talked to Keith Lee this morning.
Hey, okay.
Had some good conversation with Keith. Keith is he's a friendly guy.
I was about to say, he seems like a very gentle giant.
Yeah, he is. We talked about a lot of, I mean, we talked about obviously TakeOver, facing Cross, why he decided, was it his decision to not defend both titles at the same time? And it kind of was. He felt like it wouldn't be fair because he'd have to, they've got one show a week, and for him to wrestle twice would be taking spots from other people. I don't know if it's totally his idea, but that's what he said. What else did he mention? We talked about if he could wrestle anybody past the present, who would it be? He said Kurt Angle. He thinks Kurt Angle is one of the best he's ever seen do it. We talked about Dijak. We talked about Riddle. We talked about Walter. We talked about Cross. And his SummerSlam, not SummerSlam, his Survivor Series Royal Rumble run, which if everybody remembers, yeah, he was the last man standing at Survivor Series, and then he had that moment in Royal Rumble where he was staring down Brock. And then COVID happened. Yep. So we talked about that a little bit too. But future's mighty bright for Keith Lee. Definitely, bright.
It's always good, and rarely does it happen. We saw it with Kofi. But to see a very successful babyface run for a black athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Or black superstar.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't have to change that to get his run. So that's always very good to see. And you talking to all these wrestlers got me thinking. I was like, you know what? It's time to go down nostalgia lane in terms of wrestling to open the show. And I think it was a little bit when you were telling me about like the Seth Rollins interview a little, and you're like formulating thoughts on what you're going to ask him. I don't know if it made the cut. I'm not trying to give a spoiler to your article or anything, but it got me thinking, what was the most memorable match from your childhood? And this question comes because there's a much larger question to come after this. But what's the most memorable match from your childhood?
From my childhood, the yep. most memorable match.
Not the best.
No, the most memorable. See, Hogan Warrior had the most hype. But even as a kid, I thought the match sucked.
okay.
It was probably... Oh, I know the answer to this. It was Flair Steamboat, Chi-Town Rumble 88. That was absolutely, as a kid, that's the one match that stuck out in my head because it wasn't WWF. It was Flair, who I only watched in NWA and WCW as a kid, and I always wondered, like, why is he not in the WWF? As a kid, it just didn't make any fucking sense to me. And Steamboat, who I remember seeing in WWF, and I was so confused when he showed up as Mr. X on Clash of the Champions, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing here? And these two had the Chi-Town Rumble match. They actually had like the 60-minute time limit draw. And I was so amazed at what those two could do in the ring. I was just... I hated Flair as a kid because that's what he did best. And Steamboat was like the ultimate babyface. That was like the most memorable match. Like I've loved like Savage Hogan from WrestleMania 5 or 6. 5. I love that because the year-long rivalry... with the Mega Powers exploding, but I hated the match because I didn't even hate it. I really liked it, but I just thought it was ridiculous that Savage could drop like 5 or 6 elbows on Hogan. And he just kicks the fuck out. I was like, this is dumb. But Flair Steamboat, I had no clue who was gonna win. Hogan was always a foregone conclusion. Flair Steamboat was like, Flair was like that long reigning champion that always cheated. He knew he was a heel, and Steamboat beat him. And I was like, yo. And it was a fucking great match. Changed my perception on wrestling. That's how I started looking at wrestling different, because of those two.
Made you a smark.
Yeah. I started looking. I was just like, man, fuck this Hogan guy. All he does is kick out of everything.
Fuck him and his vitamins.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. I would say, just like you, I would dismiss Hogan Ultimate Warrior. That was the first thing that caught my eye. Warrior just running to the ring, the colors. I remember it being title versus title, me not thinking Warrior had a chance, none of them having moves, but I didn't care at that point. That's when I started collecting wrestling cards, and that's like the first deck I got. So that really helped me get into pro wrestling, but that wouldn't be the most memorable. It's up there, not the most memorable. My most memorable from my childhood would be WrestleMania 10 ladder match. Mm. Shawn, Razor Ramon.
That makes sense. Because you're a Shawn guy.
I am a Shawn guy. But, I mean, you got to think. WrestleMania 10, I was 6 years old.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
So, like, I was, like, now of sound mind on what the hell I was watching. You know? Like, and I've been in wrestling for, like, probably, like, 2 years already. I got to wrestling, like, stupid young. But I remember, like, just this is the first time where I felt the anticipation into a match. And... there was other, obviously, bigger matches on the card. Brett was going against, Yokozuna, maybe?
Ten started off with Brett and Owen.
Brett and Owen. That was great. But Brett ended up in the main event, did he not?
Because he had to wrestle twice. He had to wrestle his brother, who his brother beat him. And he still ended up in the main event. Beat Yoko, because Luger wrestled Yoko. And then Brett wrestled Yoko at the end. And it was like one of the best ends of a WrestleMania because Brett's being held up high after winning the title, and Owen's like disgusted looking at his brother as champion because he just beat that fucker.
That really should have went somewhere. Nonetheless, yeah, like it was a great WrestleMania, but the ladder match really sticks out to me because I just remember the promos leading up to that. Ramon was such a cool guy at that time. I like Shawn, but I didn't want to like tell anyone I like Shawn. Because he was, like, a super big asshole. He still had Big Daddy Cool Diesel. There was, like, a lot of shit where you're like, this guy's an asshole. But I kind of liked him. And then, but Razor was just so cool, and it was that first, to me, fringe baby face, where he's dangerous. Like, he should be a heel, but he's a baby face. They had the two titles up there. It was just everything, the build of that match was just amazing to me. I never seen a ladder match prior to that. What they did with the ladder, it was just so much. I love that match. To this day, I love that match. One of my favorite Mania matches. But that was the most memorable match to me. This neither match really lends to my bigger question, which is horrible. I was hoping you pick something else. If we would have both picked Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior, then this question would have made perfect sense. To the point of, and I think I saw Seth say this in a different interview, he cares about the moments he can make and not so much about the match itself and like the technical wrestling inside of it. That's a very WWE mentality, but it goes back to, are the moments bigger in the grand scheme of things? Like, do we remember the moments more than we remember, yo, Omega Okada had a 5-star match? If you're a kid, if you're building nostalgia, if they want to hook you in any sport, in football, do we remember, you know, 5-touchdown games, or do we remember the drive?
See, that's a tough one, because I really think it depends on who you are. And for me, it was always about, like, I'm a sports geek. I'm like a stats nerd, and I've always been that way. So, like, I'm the sum of a person's career is always more important than those moments. So, like, watching Barry Sanders run, like, amok is something that you can't forget, because the things that you think about, like, maybe I shouldn't have been thinking about him as a kid. It was like, yo, he doesn't have a fucking offensive line, and he's doing this. And Emmitt Smith's got, like, those are the things that I remember. Big plays, yeah, I remember them, but it's like having a hot single versus a hot album, like a completely thorough album. So when it comes to wrestling, yeah, as a kid, it was like Hogan, 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 and that caters to a certain demo of kids who like vitamins and shit like that, because that's what they're playing towards. But I was always big on what matches and how they played out. That's what was memorable to me, the match itself. Like, yeah, Taker throwing Foley off the goddamn Hell in a Cell cage. Yeah, we remember that. But then I remember everything else that happened in that match, because that spot was unbelievable. But then everything else that followed it was equally as crazy.
Yeah, I love that match.
So it's like a lot of ECW stuff, and that's, I kind of think that's what really ruined me, because, like, WCW, it was always about the wrestling to me, like, always. And before NWO showed up, I was always big on, like, I liked Sting, but I was like, his matches are okay. I was like, I liked Flair, I liked Malenko, I loved the cruiserweights. Like, I that changed my perception. And then when ECW came around, I was watching guys like RVD and Taz, and I was like, yo, I like these matches. Moments are cool. RVD jumping in the crowd is great, but spots are great. But I remember matches. My favorite things are always matches. I never talk. My favorite wrestler is never going to be a person who had like a few great spots.
What about builds? Because that's the other thing that comes into it. So with Seth, even, and you can kind of look at how he's changed his character and what he's focused on lately, which is the build to the fight, the promos. What can you put in that perfect 3-minute package before the fight? That gave so much to the Rock Austin feud match to me.
Oh yeah,
I arguably remember that promo package more than the match.
What's the greatest promo package ever?
Fair,
hands down. Like, there's no. But the thing is, the build to that particular match, like, it couldn't fail. If the match sucked, it might have been a little bit different. But the match didn't suck either. So the build was long. Like, the build started at the Royal Rumble, yep, and carried it. Like, we don't have feuds like that anymore. This Seth Rollins Mysterio feud, which we talked about in our interview, it's only been built for like 3 or 4 weeks, to be honest. I mean, the Rey thing was there and Dominic's been around, but it didn't hit a high gear until Seth beat the shit out of Dominic with that cane last week.
Yeah.
So storytelling and builds are important, but you can't make a promo package with a shitty fucking build. You could try. True.
But we've had a recent one. I'm not counting the Kofi one either, because that was by mistake, and that was 2.5 months in a vacuum. Even though I thought they did very well in a rush scenario. But the one I'm thinking about is Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. which was 7 to 8 months.
Yeah, and it lost a lot of steam, too.
I don't think so. I think the end result was still as good as it could have been. Minus shoehorning Charlotte in there.
Yeah, see,
but I think it kept the steam and changed Becky's character forever.
See, so yes, the Ronda busting her face was the visual that we all remember. But for me, yep, it was really all about Becky turning on Charlotte. And when Becky turned on Charlotte after losing, then showed up on SmackDown and tried to shout down the crowd, and the crowd just wasn't having it. They were just like, she was like, you fans, and the fans were like, shut the fuck up. We like you now.
Yeah.
That was like the turning point. So the build for Becky's character was always there. The Ronda feud, that was a moment. Like, the bloody face was a moment. But then I don't remember much else from November to April. Like, I remember the three-way with the cops and, like, Charlotte kicking out the windows. Like, that was great. But everything else before then, I remember Becky, didn't she wrestle?
I mean, that Survivor Series, and then you go into the Rumble, and Becky won the Rumble to face Ronda, which is part of the storyline.
And then Charlotte
came out as a replacement. And Charlotte got the other title, so it ended up being for all the belts.
Yeah.
But that's the only way they shoehorned that in. But even with that, the Ronda Becky, I'm taking Charlotte out of this, Ronda Becky went Survivor Series, busted nose. You can't wrestle each other because it was supposed to be like champ versus champ or all brands. And then you get the busted nose. She can't go. And then you go to Royal Rumble, building on that feud. Becky's back. She wins the Rumble. And then the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania, the next main one. So to me, they kind of navigated and carried it outside of putting Charlotte in there. But I thought it was good storytelling.
You know what? But you know why that storytelling happened? We talked about this a lot. Why did that storytelling happen?
By mistake?
By complete accident, because Becky got her face busted and broke her nose.
Nia Jax? Nia Jax's best botch changed the course of history.
Yeah. And like that, the best things that have happened in WWE in recent memory are things that they did not plan. They did not plan to have Becky versus Ronda then.
No. They had no clue that if you just give her some color, it changes the whole thing.
Yeah, like everything that they do right now, I can't think of a long-term story that, like, really off the top of my head, that didn't have like an injury angle or didn't get prolonged. Because even you think about Gargano and Ciampa, where the fuck has Ciampa been? And
chilling, probably in this fucking revolution state.
Stop. but you think like it was the injury that made that extended that thing, and because I don't know if the WWE has ever understood this. I don't need to see you in four segments to build a feud. Sometimes I don't need to see you every week. It could just be a little thing the commentary says or a little thing that happens in the match. They tend to blow these feuds and like I said, Otis. I use Otis as a perfect example. That man was on like four or five segments when he won Money in the Bank. And now you don't even see him because nobody cares.
Yeah. Too hot, too fast.
Yeah, like you got to let things go. Like that's why I liked Flair. When I think about Flair and Steamboat, that shit was forever. It felt like it was so long, but there was other things happening and other things going on. They would return to each other. And then they would do the tour circuit and wrestle each other. Like, everything about that made sense. These feuds these days, I know what Rollins is trying to talk about, but it's hard to care. There's a lot of shit in WWE that I just don't care about because they blow through things way too fast. They build them up really quick to shoehorn them into a pay-per-view. Back when it was only back in the In Your House era of WWF, you only got a few pay-per-views. You didn't get a pay-per-view every month. You didn't have to build a new story every single month. You could wait like 2 months. And once upon a time, there was Royal Rumble, and then there was WrestleMania. There wasn't even a pay-per-view in between. They would just build. Now you have Royal Rumble, and then what was that? Road Bump, Speed Block. What the fuck
Road
was that?
Block, Road Block.
That bullshit. And then you get another one in March, 3 weeks before WrestleMania. I don't need that many pay-per-views. I don't need you to tell me new stories. The stories I want, just build them from January to April.
Yep. But that's a great time. That's one thing I don't understand. Like, you're not selling pay-per-views anymore, right? Like, if you have the network, you have the network. If you don't, you don't. So why not make some of these underlying feuds feel bigger by having non-title feuds main-event these cards?
I don't know.
Not having your main title. Like, who cares if Drew McIntyre faces Big Show? I don't need Drew Mack on the card then. Take him off, let him build his real feud during that time, and give someone else 10 extra minutes.
Dude, I can't explain any of this to you because none of it makes sense. If you want to have a match, like, for instance, Rock Austin was built around Rock Angle. Rock and Angle had a feud. Rock won the title, and then Austin won the Rumble. And that's how we got to that WrestleMania. In between that, Rock had a rematch with Austin, and Rock won. So, in a great match. But while that was happening, what the build for Rock Austin was also happening. Right? So you can have a really good match if you use it to help propel a feud. They just do shit, and I'm just like, why is this match even happening?
And not shenanigans. Because if they did that today, that would have been a DQ.
Right.
Because Austin would have came in and beat the shit out of Rock, and there would be no winner. Instead of letting, you know, The Rock and Angle get closure.
Yeah, let feuds breathe. Let me feel like I don't know who's going to win sometimes. They have a real bad problem with doing that. It's like, oh, we're promoting WrestleMania between such and such and such and such, right? But we're going to do this match in between, and if he beats him, he's going to WrestleMania instead. And you look and you're like, there's no fucking way that this person's going to beat this person to take his place for something you've been promoting for months.
Dolph Ziggler.
Like, stop. Just cut it out. I get you. Sometimes you need to have feuds where the winner is kind of predetermined. I like the unpredictability sometimes, but man, I don't need all this. I just don't.
No, I agree. I mean, shit done changed. That's why I felt like bringing up a little bit of nostalgia to get us nice and happy and smiling about better times before we get into previewing NXT TakeOver, which this is probably the most doubts I've had about a TakeOver going into one ever. And then WWE SummerSlam. So both of those previews are coming up. You guys stay right there. Quick break when we come back, diving right into a little bit of AEW and NXT. We'll be right back. All right, we'll get back to the show in a second. But first, from tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne's CBD products.
Started by Dr. Jason Wersland, Therabody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with a revolutionary Theragun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products four times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the U.S., and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep.
And now through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free on all TheraOne products. But you've got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. So go to their website, buy one, get one free at theragun.com/bluewire. But only until Labor Day. Go right now to theragun.com/bluewire. All right, just that quick, we are back, and we are talking AEW wrestling to kick it off. No, there's not a show to recap, because they were moved out of their slot due to NBA playoff basketball. But now they're going during a packed Saturday, and I believe they start at, what, 6? So it's not even like a normal 8 o'clock start time, 6 p.m. for AEW on Saturday, in the midst of a UFC card, in the midst of right before boxing on ESPN, right before boxing on Showtime. Dre, your show will still be going. Oh, and by the way, if you're a wrestling fan and don't give a shit about anything else, you still have NXT TakeOver to watch.
It's crazy. This is a crazy, crazy weekend. And by the way, there is kind of AEW because we didn't get a chance to talk about it on Sunday because we talked about UFC. We didn't talk about Scorpio Sky losing to Cody. We didn't talk about Orange Cassidy getting the upset against Jericho. That all happened to AEW. We've completely missed that. And then, like, Cody debuting the new TNT title.
Which is the same damn thing. Yeah, it got a little bit shinier.
Yeah, it got a little jiggy. It got a little bit jiggy.
That shit's whack. That's like buying the ugly chick in the hood a pair of Tim's.
Yeah, I mean,
like, cool. We all love Tim's, but you're still ugly.
For the most part, just about every title that we see, we don't like. And,
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
This one's
I like their main title.
We like the main title. The new U.S. title, I can dig it in WWE.
Yeah. Dipset?
Yeah, the Dipset title. I remember, like, the Universal title, I hated it when I first saw it. The Spinner, I didn't like.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last WWE title that I liked when I first saw it.
Oh, I loved, and I still to this day, love the UK Championship.
Okay.
That shit is pristine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But outside of that, yeah, no, like, when you first lay eyes on it, it's like, they need to be done with the colored titles.
Yeah. So, that, like, AEW, we could just touch on it really quick, because
yep.
Cassidy beating Jericho, it was such a weird, like, do you remember? It was, like, this strange, like, mousetrap small package. It was ugly.
Yeah, it was a small pack. I get it, but, one, I don't know what Orange Cassidy's finisher is. Two, it's just kind of a weird way to go about it, because what are you saving Jericho from? Like, what are you keeping him strong for?
I don't know if they're going to run this back at All Out or not. Makes me wonder. I'm trying to figure out where we're going to end up with a few of these feuds. Like, it's clear we're going Moxley versus MJF, right? But everything else, I have no idea what they're doing yet. And that's not necessarily all bad. I want to know who Cody's defending the title against at All Out. I need to know this.
Yeah.
Because, he beat Scorpio Sky. A lot of people are pissed that he beat Scorpio Sky. And I'm like, it's regular TV, dude. Like, somebody's going to beat Cody at a pay-per-view.
I would like Cody to drop it. They could run it back at the pay-per-view. That's fine. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess title changes aren't necessary on normal TV.
No, I mean, like I said, it's only been a few weeks. Scorpio losing, if Scorpio just disappears, then I'd have a problem. Like,
he just goes right back to AEW Dark.
Yeah, like, that'd be whack. The one thing that I do want to talk about that a lot of people, some people like, some people hate it, we finally got the real bits of resentment between the Bucks and FTR by using the Rock and Roll Express and Arn and Tully.
For what?
Well, Rock and Roll Express is Rock and Roll Express. They're still they're still doing shit.
That's cool, but who knows them?
What do you mean, like, who knows them? Come on.
Stop. I mean,
who knows the Rock and Roll Express? Who watches AEW? Are you serious?
Okay, but now I'm asking, what are you bringing in to someone who isn't your core audience? Is what I'm saying. We all know them. Excuse me. I didn't mean it like that. Like, wrestling fans know them. I get that. But your non-core audience,
fuck them.
What are you adding by them?
Fuck them.
Like,
they'll learn.
You didn't need this to create friction between these two teams. That one is backing a group of 60-year-olds, and the other one's backing a group of 70-year-olds.
Well, it's not just that. It's a style thing.
You don't
thing.
Need that.
It was like the segment was built around a style thing. FTR is clearly the Arn and Tully of this generation. Yes. And the Young Bucks are very much the Rock and Roll Express. Like, they use that as a vehicle to have some dissension. Because if they did it any other way, after all these weeks they spent, like, circling the wagons, might have been a little contrived. I didn't have a problem with this.
Why do you care about these certain old guys? That's what I need to know. Why, when Arn is clearly in the corner of Cody since the beginning of this, when Tully is clearly in the corner of the big guy with the mohawk, which I don't even care about.
Tully was Sean Spears.
Oh, excuse me, Sean Spears. I don't even know who's who. Jake the Snake's the other guy. Tully is Sean Spears. So randomly, they're... For a second, you out of thin air decide to pause that, suspend belief that they've been in these people's corners for months to say come out and then support FTR, and now FTR really cares about you.
No, you don't see. Do you watch it? Or do you watch the shit you skim through? Do you remember that Arn was the one that helped FTR get their contract when they did the signing on TV? That was Arn Anderson.
Okay.
And Arn obviously with Tully, yeah. I mean, this
But he hasn't been with Tully.
No, he doesn't. Does he have to? I mean, there's obviously a connection there. They were horsemen.
Did they feud?
When? It was short-lived. And even in that segment...
Spears and Cody feuded.
And even in that segment, there was friction with Tully and everybody else.
Ooh, you're giving them better for the doubt.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to let you cook.
I don't have a problem with this.
They are shoehorning old guys into a lot of shit.
Now, I don't have a problem with this. And the Rock and Roll Express, don't have a problem with them. Rock and Roll Express is still eating Canadian destroyers every weekend. I have no problem.
Every other weekend. Yes.
So I didn't have a problem with this. If we can get to these guys fighting, and however we got to get there with All Out, I'm fine with this. Yes. Overall.
Crack my claw because I'm letting you cook.
Overall, there are a lot of old people, overall, that we don't need to see. But I don't have. Like, I don't have a problem with Jake and Lance Archer if they figure out what the fuck they're doing with Lance Archer. He's just beating people up now. I don't have a problem with Arn and Tully being around. I don't like Tully with Sean Spears. And I don't necessarily like Arn with Cody. Unless there's an end game here, which I've talked about in numerous weeks, about unifying a new Horseman faction. This could be a step in that direction. If it's not, then it's all for naught.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Sean Spears in the Horseman.
No,
he's the weakest of the Horsemen.
I would.
But you got to tie it in. Because you got to bring both of their guys and FTR together, and then you get four.
I told you, but then it's got to be Hangman.
Yeah.
Hangman's
then
gonna
then
have to
leaves out Hangman. Hangman is the, yeah.
If they go this route.
Then, Drunk Hangman is great.
Yes. If they go this route, don't have a problem with it. But, like, the overarching thing of so many, Vicky Guerrero, no thanks. I didn't need to see Vicky. Right?
Oh, God, I forgot she was there with Nia.
Yeah. I don't need that.
It's a million old people. Taz.
Yeah. Taz is another one that I don't mind, like, doing commentary, but yeah. I think it's weird how they played the cage thing. I was like, I don't need this. I like Taz in general.
I do too.
But with Cage and the way they played that out was kind of whack.
Let me be clear. I'm not against the use of old people, especially when they're very talented old people. When you do it a million times... It sours me even to the good ones. So Taz would have been great if they didn't use the same shtick for the first 6 months of the company.
Yeah, see.
You know, like, pepper
right.
it in.
You're right.
Over-seasoned.
You're right. Look, AEW's not devoid of being fucking criticized. They do dumb shit that we've talked about week after week. They also do good shit. So.
A lot of good shit.
Yeah, so this was not nothing I was... too, like, when I watched it, I was like, all right, some people fucking hated it, and I was like, all right, well, some people loved it. I didn't love it. I was just like, if this is going to get to where we need to go, and it leads to something bigger, because the obvious natural progression here with Tully watching FTR wrestle and Tully watching Hangman wrestle and Arn being around the Revival, okay, if this is how we got to get there, fine. But if this is not how we get there, then this was pointless.
No, it has to be how we get there. I fully expect a triple threat title match, which would be the craziest shit on television that weekend.
Yeah. Would be
so
nuts.
That's, yeah, just those three teams, like Omega and Hangman, the Bucks, and FTR. I mean, where's Melch at? Get the 10 stars ready.
Yeah, they should tear
start,
it down.
Yeah, just start throwing them shits right now, because it's not going to be any lower than the 18 you've given Kenny Omega before. So it's going to be one hell of a match. If, again, when that match comes... I don't care about how I felt about the build and how dumb it's cool. When the match comes, I know the match is going to be great. That's always the benefit of the doubt I give AEW. Much like NXT, but we'll talk about that in a second. Is that I excuse them from having shitty builds sometimes because I know the payoff is always going to make me feel great.
Yeah.
So that's okay. WWE, I've lost faith in that. It's where if you do a stupid Rusev cuckold angle... But at the end, you give me Rusev versus Lashley in a blood feud in a thriller, an amazing 25-minute match? Fuck it. You can have your cuckold angle. Because my payoff was fine. I had no faith that they would give me that, and they didn't.
No, they absolutely did not.
So that's the difference. If AEW wants to get there with a million old people, then it's not for me, but I get it. But I'm never going to tune out, or not yet, tune out on their pay-per-views because I know the payoffs are always going to be great.
Yeah.
And that's what will keep me along. So that's AEW. We'll talk more about that next week. I guess on Sunday when we recap all of this. And then Saturday, we have, following that up, or I guess same time, NXT TakeOver 30.
Yeah.
Talking about builds. So, one, Triple H was asked about having Velveteen Dream back.
Oh, we're going to start
put
there.
He put his head in the sand like an ostrich. He was just like, what?
Blindfold.
What sexual abuse? Huh? Mm-hmm. Pedophilia? Wait, not this man. Not the man with a perm and a blonde goatee. He never made questionable decisions. All right. So Trips kind of avoided that shit like a brand new up-and-coming wrestler in the early 2000s. He buried it quickly. That being said, the immediate push of Velveteen Dream and the booking of some of these matches, I don't get it. I'll be there for the payoff because I think the matches could still really be good.
They could, yeah.
This ladder match is going to be very different.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, these last 2 weeks of NXT television, one, are we ever going to find out who attacked Finn? No? I guess we just dropped that storyline, right?
I'm assuming it's going to be Timothy Thatcher because they just added that.
Yeah, but... okay. So, the ladder match with Bronson Reed, Gargano's in it. Who else is in this match?
Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes, Velveteen Dream.
So, I'm looking at this match and I'm going, okay, this could be really good. Or... like, because Bronson Reed...
or.
Yeah, there's a big or here. Like, this could be a clusterfuck of just craziness, and not in a good way. This could be a sprint. There's a lot of things this match could be. Because there are perfectly talented wrestlers in this match. They can do a lot of crazy shit. Cameron Grimes, I don't think we've really scratched the surface of what he can do in NXT.
I hope he wins. I don't think he's going to. I hope he does.
Bronson Reed was, when he was Jonah Rock, there was just a lot of crazy shit that he did in the indies. We haven't really scratched the surface with him either. Damian Priest, we've seen him as Punishment Martinez. He's arguably done his best work in NXT. Gargano, we know what we're going to get with him. And then there's Dream. Dream is a really weird one to me. Because, forget all the child pedophilia, like whatever all that shit is all about. Let's forget about that for a hot second. But he comes back. We haven't seen him in weeks. He comes back. He immediately turns heel after to beat up Kushida, right?
Yep.
Which felt very contrived, and it felt like, let's hurry up and turn him heel so he can be in this match. Which felt silly, because is Kushida going to get his vengeance? He's just like, fuck it, I just got beat up.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think they understand the mix, especially on the internet and in the world. Granted, you don't have fans, but they're still basing this off of how fans may feel, and it's very hard to sell Dream as a babyface right now. So they're like, we bring him back, turn him heel immediately. Because no matter what Triple H says, they understand the climate. They understand the talk. So they gotta make this guy a heel, because people are gonna hate him for a good while.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it just felt really weird how they brought him back. So he's, to me, in this match, he is the true wild card, because I know what everybody else can do. I don't know, like, even as much as we've seen Dream in the past few years, I don't know if he can, I don't want to say hang, that's not what I want to say, I'm trying to find the word, like, if he can take this match to another level. I know that there's going to be a spot that Cameron Grimes does that we're going to go nuts over. I know there's going to be a spot where Damian Priest does that we're going to go nuts over. We know what Gargano's going to do. Can Dream keep up and give us a moment, or is he going to get lost in the shuffle of this match?
I don't know. It's a lot of hoss. A lot of hoss in this match.
Yeah, it's weird for a ladder match.
But Bronson Reed is sneaky athletic.
He is. Except for that, he botched last week. He botched like a frog splash.
I was about to say the splash?
Yeah. It's like he slipped off the ropes. And again,
that's his finisher now, right?
Yeah, it's like, again, it's WWE. It's like, dude, you guys recorded this. You can edit this shit out? But
just retake.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's going to be good.
That should be the opening match. It's going to be interesting. Who do you think wins that match?
Not Gargano.
No.
And, oh, man, real quick. I was, like, watching the match with him and... what's dude's name? The rugby guy.
Oh, I don't... yeah, I forgot his name. I like his look, though.
I like his look, but when he dropped Gargano on his head...
oh.
And then...
he's still too raw.
And then for a minute, I was like, are they turning Gargano babyface? The way they were playing it?
Yeah.
With him and Candace, and then Gargano went right back here. I'm like, this is weird. But it made me miss babyface Gargano for some reason. But he can't win. Gargano can't win. Priest, he can't win either.
Oh, Priest is winning, but continue.
I hope not. I personally think it's between Grimes and Bronson Reed.
Grimes is the shitty, yappy heel, so I get it. I hope he wins, because I think Trevor Lee from the Indies showed how great of a champion he can be. And I think he gets boosted the most by having the belt.
Yeah.
Character in ring, he gets that time. I think having the belt really boosts him. And he could do some real sly, stupid heel shit to win it.
Yeah.
At the last second, and it's like, oh, it's believable. But I think Damian Priest is that next guy they really push. I think him losing to Balor last time at In Your House really showed him something.
It's just something about his character as a babyface that I really don't like.
No, I'd rather him as a heel. To me, he's Corbin. And Corbin's never a babyface.
Right.
Right? Like, it's so... No. He has to be like a heel. But I don't know how he gets back there. Maybe him and Reed. They carry this and turn that into a feud, and he gets back to some good heelish shit.
Maybe.
There's a lot of heels, though.
I'm just looking forward to this match being good. But I think if you want to put the title on somebody that's going to give it some credibility in a different way, I think it's Cameron Grimes. Even though I still would love for him to lose the fucking top hat, but he can...
But it makes him annoying.
I know, but he can be annoying without it. He just looks stupid with that and that silly vest. But everything about him works in a certain way that it's like this all makes if he held that title, he'd be so annoying with the title.
So annoying. So magnificently annoying.
I think it's the right way to go, but that's why I don't think Dream can't win it and Gargano can't win it. Those are two guys I don't want to see with the title.
Yeah, they've had it, so no, I don't think so. I think this whole match was to push new talent. So one of the new guys is going to win it. Next match on the card, we're just going to dive into this. Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
Come on, man. There's so many things wrong with this.
The fact that Adam Cole could wrestle anyone else on the roster.
Dude.
And have a 4.5, 5-star match. I think this is just we want the entrance on the card. Like, whatever. Some casuals. Cole gets his comeuppance against the asshole Pat McAfee. I don't know if this is a tool to turn Cole babyface. That's been the biggest thing. Like, I thought McAfee was supposed to be the heel in this, but they've kind of flip-flopped those roles every promo.
Dude, none of this doesn't make sense. All right.
It's going to be 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Let me count the ways and why this is wrong. One, couldn't we just have done Adam Cole versus Keith Lee for the titles here at this goddamn NXT TakeOver and make it feel really big? Shouldn't that have been the plan from the beginning?
Yep. The counter-programming.
Yeah, like, all this in the name of counter-programming? No. Let AEW have their fucking show. Do this at TakeOver, because then absolutely nobody's watching AEW on Saturday night. If you would have built this particular match for the double champ at NXT TakeOver the night before SummerSlam, it would have been huge.
Yeah.
They didn't... Dude, Keith Lee didn't even have a rivalry with Cole. They just had a match. And it went away. And we all thought, well, most of us thought, myself included, that when Lee beat Cole, Undisputed Era was going to disappear from NXT because they were all losing at the same time. And so it made sense. Like, it was like, if that's what you're going to do, okay, fine. Like that, okay. But they didn't. They came right back. And it never was Cole came back and was like, I want my title back from Keith Lee. That didn't happen. And I don't get it. How do you hold a title that long and end up in a feud with fucking Pat McAfee? What? Other thing that's wrong, and you touched on this. Who the hell is the babyface in this match? I don't care. Like, I don't... McAfee's terrible to me. And I know people giving him praise for the promo on Wednesday, but I was like, I can't figure out what he's doing. Because he's shitting on the fans, he's shitting on the NXT, like the WWE Universe, but Cole has always been the ultimate heel. So... who am I supposed to root for in this match? And sometimes heel versus heel matches are fun. This one is not, because Pat McAfee is not a wrestler. What's the finisher here? A punt kick? If there's no interference, what are we doing? Cole is the longest reigning NXT champion in history, in WWE history, NXT history. Why should this be even remotely close to a competitive match? This makes...
It shouldn't.
This is dumb. It's a waste of coal. And this is why they're doing it. I get why they're doing it. They want ESPN headlines. They want mainstream headlines. But I don't think enough people give a shit about Pat McAfee for this to feel like something big.
I surely don't.
So it's like,
but maybe I'm not their target audience. So.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, but NXT, their target audience isn't the WWE universe. It's us. This shit doesn't work for us. Stephen Amell, when he wrestled with like Cody at SummerSlam, that was like a mainstream grab. Like celebrities at SummerSlam or WWE programming, Hugh Jackman, like, oh, you go down the list, like the anonymous GMs and the surprise celebrity guest hosts, that's some WWE shit. But this is some WWE shit. And what I kept saying, like, once this goes, NXT goes to USA, the WWE influence is going to start bleeding in. This is another example of it. We don't want this. I don't think there's anybody that looked at this and was like, man, I want this feud. Nobody wants this. No. We want wrestling.
No, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, we want wrestling. NXT's been built on wrestling, work rate, no bullshit. Like, a little bit of WWE, like, storyline building and promo cutting and all that shit and the bells and whistles. But Pat McAfee versus your longest reigning NXT champion? The fuck out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. This shit has to... There has to be some type of swerve in this. I don't know what it is, but they only got 10 minutes. Because after 10 minutes, I'm doing something else. So they got 10 minutes for this match, including the entrance. And I'm out of here. So next, let's get to real wrestling. Io Shirai with Dakota Kai. Raquel Gonzalez came back this week. Those are little questionable. I guess it makes the outcome questionable. To the casuals, because now Dakota Kai got some backup. Even then, I think Io Shirai prevails. Yeah. But this match, looking at the card, this could be match of the night.
Could be. Again, the problem with Dakota Kai is she hasn't been really made to be a believable title contender. Like, didn't she lose her feud with Tegan Nox? Am I wrong?
Yeah, but then she came back and beat her in the... whatever it was to get this title shot.
Right. But then since then, like, Wednesday night she had a competitive match with somebody we never seen. And then Raquel Gonzalez comes back and it kind of undermines Dakota Kai. Like, she comes out and she beats the shit out of... And this is what I'll talk about this in a minute when we talk about WWE, the things that don't make sense. So Raquel comes in, just pummels Io Shirai, something that Dakota Kai hasn't really been able to do. And now it's like, well... Yeah, this could be a really good match. I just think the build for Dakota hasn't been proper. I felt like it could have been a little bit better. This match could still be really good. It's not like the worst feud ever. I don't know. It feels like there's something missing. And Raquel Gonzalez being the muscle, I don't really need her there. I just want those two to wrestle. I don't want any shenanigans in this match.
Yeah, I don't need it. It's going to be shenanigans. Io Shirai will overcome it. Cool. I just want a good match in between. It's okay. Like I said in the opening segment, Shawn Michaels had Big Daddy Cool Diesel forever, adding shenanigans. It didn't really take away from the match quality. You knew there'd be some shenanigans, then you get right back to the wrestling, and it'd have a good finish. So it's very possible. Like, just don't have it end in a DQ, or Raquel have too much input. If Io Shirai overcomes her, all right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Have her start there and get tossed. How about that? What happened to people getting tossed from ringside?
It happens occasionally. Mostly on like,
I like that.
Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but like with stakes.
Yeah.
So have Io Shirai almost lose because of Raquel Gonzalez. The ref actually do their fucking job and catch somebody and kick out Raquel Gonzalez. Granted, there's no crowd. I understand. Usually you do that to pop the crowd. But still, just do it anyway.
Right.
Because it makes sense. I'm taking Io Shirai to win. Same. You are taking Io Shirai to win. Then we have Breezango. Oh, this was on the... I think this is actually on the pre-show. We should start with this. Breezango versus Lorcan and Birch versus Legado del Fantasma. Number one contenders for the NXT Tag Team Championships. That is a belt that will change hands on television. Because the Tag Team Champions have no momentum.
Yeah.
Interesting to see that the authors of Punjabi Pain...
Told you.
...are gone and not involved in this.
At all.
But I say, obviously, Legado del Fantasma wins this.
Yeah, I mean, they better.
They're going to win the belts.
So
sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with this because, yeah, I think I like their entrance. I like their look. I like everything about them. I don't have a problem with this match at all. The only thing I think that's missing, though, is Santos Escobar defending the 205, the Cruiserweight title on this NXT. Why not?
Yep. Why not? Isn't, like, this would be great showcase for him and Swerve.
Yeah. You've been working towards it. What the fuck?
Yep. Which is why I wonder, why do you add Balor versus Thatcher?
Right.
To the main card when you have that? Unless you taped and for some reason you can't have one of those two talents wrestle. It is COVID time.
I don't know. Like, that's...
Maybe they're not available.
I don't know. Santos has been here. Like, they just had the triple threat. Like, I mean, you have the Cruiserweight title. He looks amazing. Like, he's a great wrestler. Like, defend the title on this particular show. Because the Balor Thatcher thing, what you said earlier was true, they could have revealed that like a week or two ago and worked their way into a Thatcher Balor feud. Then I would have been like, I'd have been all in. I'd be like, okay, we got a story here. But now I got Balor and Thatcher and I don't even know why.
Yeah, you gotta pull some shit out on the pre-show. And like, that's what they're gonna have to do.
A quick question. So do we just use the hell out of Drake Maverick and then just say, fuck it? Like, he's done. They used the hell out of that release and nothing else.
He was on the show like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he was what was he? Didn't the Undisputed Era just come out and beat him up?
Someone beat the hell out of him.
Come on,
I don't know if it's Undisputed Era or someone beat the hell out of him.
Come on, man. Like, I don't know. Somebody needs, like, Santos needs to defend the Cruiserweight title on this show.
And I think he's been on 205 Live.
But nobody
205 Live is getting decent again.
Nobody watches it, Kale, except for you.
I'm just letting you know.
You wave the pom-poms.
It's getting pretty good again.
You get respect for waving the pom-poms for it, but nobody watches 205 Live.
They are as good as their champion, and Escobar is really good.
He is good, but nobody. If the tree falls and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound?
It does.
No, because you're there to watch it. You saw it. You could tell
me. Yes, I'm there.
You could tell me the sound it makes, but I don't believe you because I don't watch it.
I'm one of five people.
I ain't going to that.
We're there. It's not bad. It's a pretty good show right now. Okay, so we agree on Legado del Fantasma, Finn Balor, Timothy Thatcher. Who do you think wins?
I guess Finn Balor because he just got pinned by Velveteen Dream. You can't lose two in a row.
Oh, he's losing two in a row. Thatcher's winning.
This is whack.
Yeah, let's be real. Finn is down there so he can spend more time at home and not have the crazy WWE schedule. And then the Rona hit, so everyone's spending time at home. But I think Finn is just coasting, chilling right now.
What happened to him won the title?
That shit, it came and gone. They're like, yo, Finn, you want extra time away? Yes, more than you want a title? Damn right. You still paying me this main roster salary?
Like, yep. So is cool. Balor, is he a babyface again?
Yeah, he's been a babyface for a hot second.
I mean, I don't know. I can't figure this out.
Yeah, he's been a babyface, like, right? He had like two heel matches and a babyface. He was a babyface against what's his face In Your House, Priest.
Yeah, but there was really no rhyme or reason to him being a babyface or a heel.
No, Priest took his knees out with the crowbar.
Right, and then Priest turns babyface.
The Priest turns babyface with the respect.
I don't get this. Like,
it's quick. It's a bad story. You gotta keep up. It's quick.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
You blink and it changes.
I'm going to pick Balor because I just can't see this man losing two in a row, but maybe you're right.
I'll go Thatcher going over because no reason for Thatcher to lose yet.
He lost to Dexter Lumis. He got choked out.
Oh, ain't that so true? Where is Dexter Lumis?
Hurt.
Oh.
That's why he's not in the ladder match.
He's supposed to be in the ladder match. Yeah. Thatcher should have just replaced him.
Yeah, but no, they decided to do this. They could have put Thatcher in the ladder match. And then just told Finn, go ahead, stay home. And then put Santos in defending the title on this card.
Yeah. And then we have main event, Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross, which the promo video for this, fire.
That's good.
So I unlike you, have liked the build of this match.
You like the fireball in the face?
Of the fireball in the face. I did not like the fireball in the face. But I get it. Like, they're trying to build, like... Karrion Kross is from hell. Okay, I get it. He's a demon from hell.
I don't need
with a demon chick. I mean, it's WWE. It's cool.
No, it's NXT. It shouldn't be like WWE. Yo, okay. Here's what Keith Lee told me in my interview. He told me that, this is how you know he's a nerd. He was like, my fireball resistance was at a 9, but apparently Scarlet has a 13 level fireball, so that takes my 9 over, so I need to get my fireball. Like, we had a conversation about him getting his RPG points up so he can defend the fireball. That's Keith Lee.
I don't know what you want to say.
I'm just saying.
It's indefensible. But outside of that, I like the build of this fight. Somehow, Keith Lee being blind has to work into the match. And it's just still weird that it's a little early for either of them to lose.
Yeah.
But as long as the feud continues to go, then it is what it is. My biggest thing, if we said it all along, is I hope they don't Moxley this, in which Keith Lee beats Karrion Kross, and Karrion Kross then decides next week he's just going to be perfectly fine with attacking the North American champion.
Yeah, that can't happen. That cannot happen.
Then it just makes you tuck your tail, run, and be like, I'm not good enough. Like, it has to extend past this, and I hope it does.
Yes.
Because I'm okay with the O going. I don't need Karrion Kross to be undefeated forever.
No, you're right.
Lose, come back, use it as fuel. Say you're not done, and you keep going against Keith.
Yeah, I'm picking Keith to go over. Because, dude, how bad would it be that you win both titles, you give one away, and then you lose the other one?
Yeah, you can't lose it. Like, unless I said before, they're hot-shotting him to the main roster, and he's up the next day, like if you have a draft.
No, they're not.
Like the next week.
The draft is like later this year. There's no reason for it.
Yeah, which I hopefully not. But as long as that's not the case, keep the belt on him. Karrion Kross loses. Cool. You roll it over and you keep it going.
I think the only way to get out of this match is to have Keith Lee escape with a victory.
I like that.
But he has to
put
something.
Put what's her face? Put Scarlett in like imminent danger. And Karrion Kross lapse of judgment for a second. And then Keith Lee wins.
No, I don't want Keith. I don't want Karrion to give a shit about Scarlett. No. I just want, like,
she's the only one he gives a shit about.
Like, I want it to be one of those finishes where Keith Lee hits the BBC. And and when he goes to pin Kross, like, the ref doesn't see that Kross's foot was under the rope or some shit like that. Like, that's
babyface.
I want something of that where he can complain. Like, just something where Keith escapes with the victory. If he wins dominant, like Moxley has been doing, and just sends Kross to the mid-card, that's dumb. Keep this feud going.
Yeah, it needed to go. I would say best way out of it is Scarlett mistakenly being put through a table or some shit and being hurt, Keith Lee winning, and then you get Karrion Kross really pissed off. Like, oh, you injured Charlotte? Like, you fucked Charlotte up? Or Charlotte, excuse me. Scarlett? Like, oh, you hurt Scarlett? Oh, you thought I was mad before. You hurt the only thing I cared about? I'm taking you out. Like, super vengeful Karrion Kross.
All right.
I think he could pull that
also out. Like how Charlotte is everywhere, and she found her way into this conversation.
Yeah. Scarlett's way too close. Okay, so that's our NXT predictions. Believe it or not, that was the good nature segment out of us. Because when we come back, we're talking about WWE Thunderdome. Is that what it's called? Let me make sure. I don't have it. Yes, the Thunderdome. That's stupid 80s reference. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we're talking about WWE SummerSlam as well. You guys stay tuned for all of the positive reviews we're going to give this right after the break. All right, we'll get back to the show in a second. But first, Sundays are coming back in the NFL with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels never miss your favorite teams and favorite players.
No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
Okay, we are back. Last segment, and we are talking about main roster WWE. And Dre, every time I hear this stupid ass Thunderdome name, it reminds me not of the 80s like nostalgia of it, but it reminds me of the movie Waiting, and Dane Cook is in the kitchen and he just walks by and his intro is "Welcome to the Thunderdome, bitch." Like, I love that part of waiting. And that's all this reminds me of. It's that Dane clip cut. So Dane Cook really crushes that shit. So, WWE Thunderdome, will it work? That's my question for you. I wrote it down. Will it work? And I don't even know what that means, because I don't know what success is with this Thunderdome. So I wrote it, and I was like, what is working in this one? But yeah, will it work?
See, I don't know, man. Like, the pictures look ridiculous, right? Like, the people on the screen, and yes. it looks bad. The images that showed up on social media. But that doesn't mean it's going to look bad when we watch it on TV. It doesn't make... For sure, it's not going to be bad. So, I don't know. It looks like there's going to be high production value in this Thunderdome shit. I just, the fans look super distracting. Like, I'm looking at it like going, what is this? Like, it looks like a game of Guess Who or The Matrix or, like, what is this? Why are these faces popping up? Look, I know you got inspiration from the NBA, but at least the NBA, like, everybody kind of, like, mixes in. And they're not so prominently seen when you're watching the game because the camera's very low on the court. But if the hard camera is facing this checkerboard of faces, it's going to look bad.
I don't know why. They switched away from that hard cam for a reason.
Yeah.
Now they're just like, the Thunderdome will save us. Like, no, it's going to look dumb and cheesy and corny. But, again, they don't care. They think this is going to make fans tune in because maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to have your face in the crowd.
Yeah,
or see someone you know. I don't know what the appeal of this is.
See, I don't either. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't have any answers for you.
No. How long till someone flashes the camera?
Oh, they're recording.
We're seeing boobies.
Oh, no, they're recording the show. If they can't edit out the match, they'll find a way to edit out a botch like that.
They're not editing. They're not recording the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to have fans on the pay-per-view either.
It's in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be... Well... I would like to say they're not going to be that stupid. I could be totally wrong.
Completely wrong. We're seeing boobies. Boy. We're seeing something. Hopefully we don't see something
else. They'll find a way not to do that. I don't think. I really don't think they're going to have like fans for SummerSlam. I don't think so.
So, wait. So you're telling me they debut this, not on the Monday after SummerSlam, but on Friday SmackDown before SummerSlam, and then decide to not use it for the bigger show. Because you need the ramp, you need the pyro, you need that big time feel for your major pay-per-view.
Yeah, but they haven't said anything about how they're going to... Because remember, SmackDown is taped. So I don't think they're going to run the risk of doing this test run one time and then having fans being able to punch in for a pay-per-view. I don't think...
They could do it with like black screens or put up the graphics... Have it like another de facto Jumbotron.
I also think it'd be a technological nightmare if they try to pull that together for SummerSlam.
We shall see. But if they decide to do it, I'm convinced we're seeing boobies.
You're excited.
Somebody is flashing the camera. SummerSlam itself, I know that you've just been enthralled by the happenings at Raw Underground lately.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
I mean, the horsewomen showed up. MMA horsewomen. Come on, man. Oh, as soon as you saw that, you're like, yeah, I'm out.
Come on. Look, man. Let's start. I guess we're going to start here because I said this. You tried to give this a chance.
I did.
They got rid of the girls, which was smart. Yes. That was bad. They've kept the generic. Not. I won't even disrespect Streets of Rage. They've kept the generic Sega Genesis hip-hop music. And then they've had, like, Dolph Ziggler? What? These fights, it's so hard to make MMA look fake. And they found it. Right? Like, so these punches, like, nobody's going to stand there. Like, if you've ever watched an MMA fight, you look at this shit and go, get the fuck out of here. But then if you have two wrestlers in an MMA-style fight doing wrestling moves, and then, like, Dolph Ziggler sticks a thumb in somebody's eye to show... Oh, you know what actually the worst part about this is? Shane's commentary is the absolute worst thing about this. Oh, my God, what a move. This is incredible. Shut the fuck up, Shane. Like, this, it's so bad. I can't find anything redeeming about this. You said on our last show, this could be where the Hurt Business calls their home. Hurt Business hasn't been back on this shit in 2 weeks.
Nope, threw that shit right up.
Why does this exist?
Because you hit it right on the head during the first show, and I wanted to be optimistic. But you were right. It is a vehicle for Shane McMahon and Shane McMahon.
That's it.
And it will end with Shane McMahon fighting somebody who gets the honor of fighting Shane McMahon and elevating them, which has been the biggest farce in the past 10 years, ask Kevin Owens. But the honor of facing a McMahon in Raw Underground.
I can't make sense out of this. So
neither can I.
Shayna, she comes in with the Horsewomen, and then Nia Jax shows up for reasons whatever.
They're in a feud.
Yeah, but first of all, where the fuck is this place? Do you just like walk backstage and then the big dude's
in the back
and you just go in there? Like you just walk in? Because the big dude's supposed to be guarding the door. And if I'm coming to cause ruckus, he's just gonna let me in. So I
big dude lets everybody in. The big African dude lets everyone
clearly
in.
Like he lets just Raw Underground. Like this is so bad. And again, like the Viking Raiders, for instance, right? So Eric is in. I said this. Why would I ever want to watch him in a regular wrestling match when he has like these 2 minute fights? I don't care. Why this doesn't make any sense? What is the end game? And I said the end game is Shane. The end game is absolutely Shane. Why is this happening? Anything that's segmented into a third hour never works. Never works. Especially when you start looking at the ratings for the third hour and they're just plummeting. This is bad.
They find ways to make something bad worse. And then they'll find something else to blame.
This is so
they'll be like, oh, well, we don't have the star power. No, it's because you put this stupid-ass segment.
It's bad.
To close the show.
It's indefensible, dude.
We got to talk SummerSlam, though. Because, I mean, we talk about that dumb shit all day. Why is SummerSlam called You'll Never See It Coming?
Dude, unless there's something going to happen that's going to surprise the hell out of me, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, like, I better never see it coming. Like, something has to happen. Undisputed Era better debut.
That's not going to happen. Well, it might. I won't put that.
Something I'll never see coming. Anything?
But you know it's WWE, so it's usually something really bad. And you're like, yeah, I sure didn't see that coming. Like Goldberg returns? Yeah.
Oh, it'll be, and I'll tell you exactly what it'll be. It'll be Rey Mysterio having use of both eyes, and it'll be, you'll never see it coming.
Christ.
Eye for an eye pun. And Vince is going to think he's the most fucking genius person ever. Told you, you'll never see it coming. Rey Mysterio can see. Do you get it? See? That'll be the joke.
Not funny.
That'll be the joke. You know it. He's that corny.
You're probably right.
Let's go down this 8-match card. Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. Fuck it. Give me Angel and Andrade. They're not even a real tag team, but fuck it. Profits have had it. I don't get it.
I feel like the Profits should win. I'm just totally lost on a lot of these things right now. It's hard for me to figure this out because, again, the whole poisoning thing and...
I forgot about the poisoning. They got to win after the poisoning.
Yeah, it was dumb to even do it in the beginning because why? Why are we doing this? I don't know.
So Bianca Belair can get on TV.
Okay. All right. If you say so.
Yeah. I flip-flop. Profits win, but Bianca Belair is the reason why they win.
Okay.
Then, let's see. Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. Hair versus hair match.
I mean, Sonya's...
They're going to give this 25
minutes. Yeah, Sonya's definitely got to lose.
Sonya's...
Sonya's absolutely losing. Because she'll shave her head. She'll look
Mandy's
like
not cutting her
hair.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. No.
I'm so happy this is coming to an end. You know what's crazy?
You think.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I was, you thought.
You didn't see this coming.
Otis with the save.
So, as we go down this card, there's one thing that sticks out to me. Once again, AJ Styles does not have a match on a pay-per-view.
No. Where's Big E?
Also doesn't have a match. Unless they announce something, because this year's... Well, no, last year's was actually pretty short. Unless they announce
something. Oh, we got Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Friday.
But if they don't announce anything... AJ Styles not being in another pay-per-view is ridiculous. Because he's been doing some great work on TV. Yep.
Got to give him a dance partner, though. No Matt Riddle.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is weird. No Jeff Hardy. Like, maybe they announced a Jeff Hardy-AJ Styles match?
It's very Raw heavy.
So I guess there's a few matches missing, but, you know, maybe they'll rectify that. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in a street fight.
Yeah.
Seth got to win. Dominic winning his first match is ridiculous. But
it's a street fight, dude.
It's something WWE would do.
And it's also a street fight. Like, Seth is going to do everything in his power to make Dominic look like $1 million. Because Seth is really that good. Mysterio being involved in the match somehow is going to play a role. Same with Buddy? Murphy? What are we calling him? Yep. Murphy? Murphy. So I think, I'm not saying this match is going to be good, but I think Seth is going to find ways to make this good. Because Seth, he's just really good. I mean, like the eye for an eye match, before that happened, was a great match. Obviously, Dominic's not Ray, but I think they're going to find ways to make to have Seth make him look good. I think Seth will probably bump like a maniac, take a bunch of shots. Dude, can we talk about the fucking child abuse that Seth Rollins put on Dominic Mysterio last week?
Wow. I mean, Dominic tried to get revenge in the comeuppance this past week, but it was not the same.
Bruh.
Seth beat the hell out of him.
I asked Seth about this. I was like, listen, man. I was like, I just watched Eddie versus Ray ladder match for the custody of Dominic. It was 15 years ago. And Dominic was this little boy. And now you're beating the shit out of this boy. It had to be wild uncomfortable. And he was like, yeah. It was like, it was kind of uncomfortable. Because, like, that's his son. And it wasn't like, in my memory, I'm trying to think, other than like ECW, Tommy Dreamer taking those kendo stick shots, I can't remember off the top of my head any WWE wrestler that took that kind of punishment from a kendo stick. Like his body was, wow.
Someone beat the shit out of Ronda last year.
Yeah, but it wasn't like this.
It was pretty
bad. It was bad.
Like the welts were crazy. No one's got beat like this in a long time.
And Dominic's not even a real wrestler.
No, where I was like, the ropes, usually, you know, your arms fall out of the ropes and it's time to stop. But I was like, yo, his arms are stuck in the ropes and they're just going to keep hitting him until his arms loosen. And the ropes weren't giving.
Nah, that was a wild.
It was a minute, dude. Minute and a half straight of Murphy and Seth just going back and forth.
So I need to explain one more thing and we can move on for this match. I'm picking Dominic Mysterio to win by some kind of shenanigans. But I need somebody to explain to me how Samoa Joe gets involved in this and then, you know, has Dominic come down, talk shit to Seth, stands up to Seth. Then they beat the shit out of Dominic and then Joe does nothing but go back to commentary. I need somebody to explain how this makes sense. Not because it's just another wrestler. It's Dominic Mysterio, who is somebody's son, and you were talking shit about Seth and how, you know, Seth wouldn't do this, that, and the third to you. But as you're watching this very uncomfortable beating, Joe never gets up and interferes. That was wild to me.
Wow. Hopefully they're just seeds planted for Joe to get involved.
Well, shit, it's kind of late now. Dominic already got his ass beat.
Well, I mean, Joe could help Dominic win this.
Maybe. I'm just...
He could be the equalizer, and then Seth versus Joe. Now you got something.
I'm just saying. Just watching this was like listening... Watching Joe go back to commentary as Dominic's getting destroyed for like 10 minutes was weird.
Made no sense. Yeah. Like, Joe's not just... He's just not going to stop.
Nah, he's just chilling.
He's like, not my business. We have two women's matches. Sasha versus Asuka and Bayley versus Asuka.
I love this.
I do too.
This is one thing I can completely get behind. I've loved how they handled this.
Asuka's losing both.
Think so?
But I think so.
It's possible. I don't think so, though.
Maybe the only other way I see it going is Asuka winning the SmackDown title. Like, Bayley helping Sasha, so Sasha beats Asuka. And then when it's time for Sasha to help Bayley, Sasha fucks up. And Asuka beats Bayley, and Bayley's pissed at Sasha.
Because I think they're... By putting Asuka in this match, in two matches, it's hard to say, well, Asuka's just going to lose both matches. Instead, I see it as, oh yeah, I think they're finally going to start to plant these seeds. Because they've been moving back and forth. They started to go in, then they backed off of it. They started to go in the back. And they, I mean, who knows? It could be just seize the plant. Like I said, I want this match to happen at WrestleMania. That's a long fucking time from now. So,
long time.
Instead, Asuka wins both matches, which I didn't expect, first of all. I thought Shayna was going to win the other one, but she didn't. So, yeah, I got Asuka in two matches. She's the only one that feels really right in this feud to wrestle them both because, one, we all think Asuka's a badass, and two, she's just entangled with those two, like, because of Kairi Sane. So it,
what does that say about everyone else?
Oh, it says they haven't really done shit else with anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Because they had that whole battle royal, like, which was a great spot with Asuka standing. Who'd she stand on? The Iconics? When they tossed. Yeah, that was great. Like, everything about this, if I'm going to praise them about something, it's this particular feud. Because Sasha and Bayley have been excellent together, and Asuka's just really goddamn good. And somewhere Shayna will get involved, but she's not Asuka. Let's be clear. She's just not. So for her to be in both these matches, I think Bayley's probably going to be the one to lose. But then that means Asuka's on SmackDown.
Yeah. And then Bayley follows Sasha over to Raw. Which, if you're trying to slowly turn SmackDown into the wrestling show, that's a good move.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm because I'm very curious, because I honestly don't know who's going to win and how. And I don't know how they're going to play Asuka going from one match to the next. But I'm very interested in seeing how they do it. Just don't fuck it up. Just don't fuck this up.
Yeah. Hopefully not. Then we have, hold on, trying to not get lost in the sauce. Apollo Crews versus MVP.
Oh my God.
Why again?
Okay.
Like, he beat him clean. Why did, again, Lashley, Benjamin, barred from ringside. Unless MVP is going over, I don't understand doing this, because it should be Lashley's turn.
Yes. And this is another problem with WWE storytelling right now. So, Crews versus MVP. Crews beats MVP clean. The first time Crews couldn't fight MVP is because Lashley injured him. Then Crews beats MVP. Then they do this tag match, and who beats Crews again clean? Bobby Lashley. Because somebody makes sense why Bobby Lashley's not going for the title here. I can't make sense of this.
I don't know. Unless MVP loses again, and Lashley's like, yo, I got this. But again,
you can do that now.
Using SummerSlam to set that up is weird, because SummerSlam should be the culmination of feuds.
Exactly. This is...
It shouldn't set up payback a week later.
Oh, God. When I saw it, I was like, wait, what? I just... No. Like, Lashley's the only one that's been basically indestructible in all this shit. Benjamin gets pinned. MVP gets pinned. Nobody's pinning Lashley. And that's how Lashley should be built. Like, a legit badass. Have him face Crews. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. So, we'll see what that turns into. Lashley has to explode in some way. I don't know. That has to lead somewhere. And then Braun Strowman versus The Fiend.
Oh, my God.
Heel Braun Strowman.
Is he?
Babyface Fiend?
No.
He has a soft spot. Somehow, Alexa Bliss is going to play a major role in this match. So there's going to be shenanigans.
I hate this match.
I mean, you weren't going to like it anyway.
I wasn't.
Let's just keep it a buck. Like, you're not liking it anyway.
You're absolutely right, but I hate it more now.
Give me The Fiend. Unless they want The Fiend to lose again to give Strowman an extra edge as a heel. Just fucking crazy. Using The Fiend to set up Strowman. Bad enough you used him to set up Goldberg. Just keep dismantling The fucking Fiend. But The Fiend should win. He doesn't need the title, but he should win.
First of all, Braun Strowman's promos have been awful.
God awful. Even worse as a heel, which you don't see every now
and then. I don't think he's a heel. I think they're playing this as the mind games are getting to him. I don't think he's a heel. I think
he tried to throw the woman out of the ring. I know,
but he's not going to be the heel.
He shaved his head bald.
Yeah, but he's not. The Fiend is the heel. The biggest mistake the WWE could ever make is to turn The Fiend babyface right now. That'd be terrible.
You can't turn a babyface without fans.
No, but I mean, you can't turn a babyface, period. Not at this
point. That's what Bray Wyatt's for.
Right.
Like, so he could be a babyface.
So, like, I don't care about this match. I know it's going to have some bullshit in it. I know Alexa Bliss is going to be involved in it. But even if you put the title on The Fiend right now, I don't even care. Because I don't know what the end game of any of this is. It doesn't even feel right to put the title on The Fiend right now. For whatever, like, it doesn't feel like... You know, like a few weeks ago, I talked about you should earn your titles, and when you win the title, it feels like, oh man, he definitely earned that. It doesn't feel earned. It didn't feel earned when Braun won it. If The Fiend wins it here, it doesn't feel earned. Because I don't.
Really? I mean, Wyatt has taken an ass whooping in two pay per views in a row. So
that doesn't earn The Fiend the title. Because where do you go from here again with The Fiend?
You're stuck again.
You're stuck again. It's not one of those things where The Fiend has been involved. Like, he's only been involved in title feuds. Outside of Balor, he's only been involved with the champion.
Seth was in a title feud.
Yeah, it was. He won the title off of Seth.
Oh, Red Cage. Yes, he did.
So he started with Balor. There was a brief with Daniel Bryan, but he was champion. Right, was he?
That wasn't brief. And Daniel wasn't the champion.
Wasn't he the champion?
He had lost the belt. No, it flipped Bryan back to a babyface and brought back the Yes Movement.
But wasn't Fiend champion at that time?
Ooh.
Yes, because he beat Seth. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So
he beat Seth before.
Everything that. The Fiend has done, with the exception of Balor, has revolved around that title. Infused that. Here's the issue. It's not because it's the title. It's because the title's never really brought up as part of the feud. He has feuds. Yeah. But never is there a mention like, I'm going to be the Universal Champion. I'm beating Braun for the title. There's never that conversation.
Well, you mentioned it a little bit to start this Braun.
Kinda.
You said, you have a toy that my friend
right,
wants.
But does it feel like this is about a title at any point?
No, they think it got bigger than the title. But it doesn't feel bigger than the title. They think it's a blood feud now.
It is not.
And now Alexa's added even more to it. But if you never show Braun Strowman gives a fuck about Alexa, then you've added something for no reason.
So, and this is the point I'm going to get to. With The Fiend, I'd like to see him involved in feuds that have nothing to do with the title. That way, you can give him a presence. He can either dominate somebody or have a hard time to make you feel like he's becoming somewhat beatable. And then he works his way into a title shot. So when he does win the title, it's not the only place to go is down. Because the problem with The Fiend, like I said, has been he's been indestructible, with the exception of Goldberg. So if he beats Braun here, and I don't know if he squashes him, I have no idea how this plays out. But what's next? What's the next logical step for The Fiend where you go, that makes sense?
I don't know, sir. He got to hold it. He got to hold it for Roman Reigns. I don't know. Probably don't debut Reigns until the Rumble. Try to get a pop. So he just gotta chill. You go into Survivor Series.
Who do you wrestle? Who's the babyface on the roster that you put in there with The Fiend if he wins the title?
This time, you gotta... I don't know who's on SmackDown that's a baby.
Like, Riddle?
Jeff Hardy?
No. I mean...
Too early for Riddle.
It's too early
for
Riddle.
You go Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
You go Jeff Hardy because you can bring a lot of different characters out of Hardy. So you can do some phantasmal, like... You know, crazy supernatural shit with Hardy.
That makes sense. I'll give you that.
So
one. That makes sense.
You give him Jeff, and then Survivor Series is champ versus champ versus champ, and then after Survivor Series, I don't know where the fuck he goes until Rumble. But you figure.
I'll
it
give
out.
You that one. The Jeff Hardy feud makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's babyface versus. Yeah,
I just wish heel, that so. The Jeff Hardy, like, instead of the Sheamus Jeff Hardy thing, they should have done with The Fiend and Jeff Hardy.
Without the belt. It would have been fine. Yep. Perfect. Because then you're struggling with alcoholism. You're struggling with this. The Fiend pulls all these characters out of you. He shows you the bad stuff. Then you're really struggling against yourself. He shows you old school Hardy. There's shit that you can work with there.
Yep.
Title unnecessary.
Yep.
But I think that's the way they go. Nonetheless, I have The Fiend winning.
Yeah.
You have The Fiend winning.
I don't know where Braun Strowman goes after this. I hope he does turn heel because babyface Braun sucks. But do you think this is going to be the main event?
No. Orton and McIntyre is the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Okay, good.
I mean, the man just attacked Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair in back
to
back weeks.
It's the main event. Wait, why did Shawn no-sell the punt kick?
Yo, the king of selling stuff. No-sell the fuck out of that. But again, this is my problem with old man Sean, is when the hat comes off, he's very aware that he is bald. And most of his effort is getting back to his hat. So if you look, the hat comes off, he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's just trying to cover the baldness. So I give Sean a pass on that. But usually Sean sells that to the moon. Sean got beat up by Randy. Randy beats up old people. I get it. Like, sooner or later, he's going to run out of old people. If this is the trajectory, he got to fuck Vince up sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I want to be clear. The Randy Orton-Ric Flair segment from last week was fucking excellent. that was the Flair giving his whole tearful. He turned into the waterworks like nobody's business. But I got to give so much credit to Randy Orton for still staying stone faced through that segment. Because what Rick was doing was really some Rick shit. Being on his deathbed. Yeah. Like, even Shawn Michaels couldn't even cut a promo about Ric Flair's promo without almost tearing up. Randy Orton had stare Ric Flair in his face during that promo and then kick him in the fucking head. Yo.
That's good work.
When Randy's on 10, he's, I don't want to say he's untouchable, but he's one of the best. It's just so rare.
When he feels like
it's so,
when he feels like
it's just so rare to find him on 10. He has these moments, and I don't know. I mean, if you go back to the feud where he was just punt kicking McMahon's and they got to the Triple H match of Mania and it stunk, something happened there. Because up until that point, like Randy against Undertaker, Randy beating Benoit for the title, Randy in Evolution, like everything felt on point. And then somewhere after that, it was like, I'm going to take a few matches off. Like Randy would hit the RKO on like Matt Sydal flipping, like he hit the crazy RKOs, and then it became like a crutch. But when Randy's on 10 like he is right now, cutting great promos and just doing great work, like this match could be really, really good. Because McIntyre's excellent. We know what McIntyre is.
It should be incredible. Like, depending on where Sasha and Asuka are in the card, if they go early, Sasha and Asuka, Drew Mack, and Randy should be the best matches of the night.
Yeah.
And this one, Randy, it's weird. I have high expectations, but he could fool me. Because I really liked him versus The Fiend. Or, no, not Fiend, but him versus Bray Wyatt. And Luke Harper and that build. To me, that was the last time Randy did spirited work.
Yeah.
And then we got maggots on the canvas. Let's just be, we did. So this time, obviously, Drew Mack's a completely different worker. Drew McIntyre has been on fire in the ring. It's truly sad that fans haven't been in attendance.
Yeah.
And Drew might not get his flowers until his second, third, or fourth title runs. But this proves that he's going to get the second, third, and fourth. Because he is a man that deserves to carry a title. And you can put the title on him and not worry.
Yep.
So I think he brings the best out of Orton. Orton brings the best out of him. Fuck, you go back to that Orton versus Edge match. The real match. And how good that was.
Surprisingly, for the best match.
And Edge was coming off the couch. So him versus Drew Mack, I think it's going to be really good. And I'm picking Drew Mack because Orton can lose, but I'm not mad if Orton wins. He's worked his ass off for it.
I will only be mad because every time Orton has a title, he goes into cruise control.
Not if you give him someone hot right after. Yeah, and the problem is, who is hot? No one. You could bring Kevin Owens out the blue.
Yeah, we got to.
And ask him to spark it out of nothing.
We got
to
rebuild Kevin.
Yeah, agreed. He was pre-show Kevin last month. So, I mean, he's not hot. But if you want someone to catch fire immediately, Kevin's the guy.
Yeah, he's always been the guy. Joe. I mean, there's options if you build babyface.
Randy's a heel, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can go Joe as a babyface.
Joe can cook.
Randy versus Joe, I'm here with
you. Yeah, so there's options. But I'm picking Drew to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Randy won, but I think Drew can't lose because Drew's just really fucking good. And so good. He deserves
no reason for it.
Yeah, he deserves to have his title until the fans come back, and then you take it off him once he gets that pop. Like I just need to see this man because he's earned it. So
yeah, no one should beat him before Mania.
So I want to close out with this because yes, this is the last match of SummerSlam, but is Retribution showing up at this goddamn pay per view? Because this fucking angle sucks.
Of course, it's in the fucking Thunderdome.
Oh, Christ,
they should do an unveiling, if anything. Oh, I forgot. There's shenanigans on this card. There's room for plenty of shenanigans. They're gonna jump somebody.
Dude.
This
is so bad. I keep saying that. I feel like
how about they jumped? How about they jump Apollo Crews?
I mean, they could. I mean, there's 8 matches. I feel like they're gonna at least add 2 more that they can get involved in. Big E doesn't have a match. AJ Styles doesn't have a match. So.
Yeah. They're going to beat one of them
shit,
up.
Cesaro and Nakamura don't have a match.
No, that'll be on a pre-show. They'll just throw that shit on.
Throw it. That sucks. Two of the most charismatic best wrestlers, and they just throw them on. So, Retribution. Kel, please entertain me for a second. So Retribution shows up on SmackDown last week. SmackDown or Raw? Raw. Shows up in the beginning of the show. Disrupts production. Ransacks the production truck. Then they disappear. Right? Nobody says boo. The show just continues. Nobody says, let's go get these motherfuckers. Like, nothing happens. They just go do their thing. It just feels weird that you're doing this show and they disrupt production at the beginning of the show and then don't do nothing else for the rest of the show. Why? And then where's that guy who continues to kick Nia Jax out of the arena every week? Like, he should do something. He seems like a tough guy. Somebody.
The guy is nameless. He just shows
up to kick Nia Jax out like every week. That's his job. He shows up, hey Nia, get out of here, I thought I suspended you last week. Like, that's his job. But nobody's doing anything. Like, at least Big E and Baron Corbin had the rah-rah speech on SmackDown, let's get them. At least they did that. This week Raw didn't do much of anything about Retribution, and I don't understand it. Why not?
Yo, I can't make heads or tails of that, but listen, I just want to let you know, because I wanted to end this podcast on a beautiful note and make you feel good. The Knicks were awarded the 8th pick.
Oh, let me go text my Knicks
top
friends.
Top three?
Ooh, buddy.
Oh, couldn't leave
one,
that.
One of my childhood friends has been a lifelong Knicks fan. I think I've told this story before. We bet each other in 1993. That the Knicks wouldn't win a championship, $1 million every year that they didn't win a championship. This is the O.J. Simpson Knicks versus Rockets '94, Knicks versus Rockets championship. I bet him $1 million. We were kids. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. 1994. It is 2010. It has been. This motherfucker owes me $26 million.
You gonna pay what you owe?
And I'm texting him now. I'm just texting him congratulations because it's the 8th pick. I mean, come on. Doesn't get any better than that. Knicks.
At all. Timberwolves got number one.
The Wolves got number one?
Yes, sir. The Wolves got number one. Hello, LaMelo.
Damn. LaMelo. Maybe Cat stays.
I'll take him over Anthony Edwards. Cat staying? They got Cat's boy.
Yeah.
D'Angelo. Cat ain't going
nowhere. LaMelo and D'Angelo, though? It could be volatile.
I mean, it's Splash Bros.
No, it's not the. It's you can make not it work. The Splash Bros. They.
No, I'm saying that model. You can make it work.
You could, but neither of them are like great shooters. So, I don't care. The Knicks don't have it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I do love Brett right in your day talking about Retribution.
God,
is that the name of this group? I don't even know. I call it Revolution. What? Fuck if I know, man. It's they all sound like a backup to Prince.
Prince and the Retribution.
The Retribution. So I don't care about them at all. They're definitely making their appearance, though. So we'll see how that goes over. We'll see how the Thunderdome looks. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Vince will be proud of it. And we'll have plenty to talk about this weekend because it looks like we're going to lead off with wrestling again on Sunday. Back-to-back wrestling shows. Just like we did back-to-back boxing and MMA last week. We just kind of go with the hot hand. So we want to thank you guys for listening to us. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_ on IG. I'm still getting used to this. On IG is Corner Club for Life. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. Shout out to the sponsors. Shout out to Blue Wire, the network. It is great over here right now. Everyone hit up White Claw. Tell them we need that check. We crack the claw every week. God damn it, it's time. Make sure you guys show support. We love you guys. Stay healthy. Stay Rona free. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball has finally kicked off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7.
And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE.
BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.